we're looking at the Bible being harmonious. If we can drill this principle down into our hearts, make it bedrock in our lives, this will go a long ways to keeping you in the faith in a New Testament church with the blessings of God flowing through you. By harmonious, whole Bible comes into agreement. It's without contradiction. What do you know if you find a contradiction in the Bible?
You're reading it wrong.
There's error, you're reading it wrong. The error is not in the Bible, the error is in us. Now, it's nice and easy, and religion will look at this and go, oh, that's cute, you're deluded. Why is the Bible without contradictions? This is the most important part of knowing. If you don't understand the why, you will not be able to rightly divide the Bible. This will just become a hollow principle to you. Bible being harmonious will just be a phrase. Without contradiction, yeah, right. Why is the Bible without contradiction?
Because God wrote it. I just wonder if
God cannot lie.
What was the first statement, Brother John?
Titus 1, verse 2. God cannot lie.
We'll pick up that in a second. Sister Christy?
I said God is perfect, and the Bible is His Word.
Okay. God is the author. God is the author. This is not what religion will teach you. It is the gospel according to Matthew. It is the gospel according to Luke. It is the gospel according to Mark. The gospel according to John. These are the writings of Peter. These are the writings of Paul. These are the Psalms of David. God's the author. Now hold on to this, because we got to drill this down and nail it down in our hearts, because if we don't get this, nothing else matters. Now I guarantee you that all the individuals that Brother Dale just mentioned, the great martyrs, every single one of them had this in their heart. If you don't have this in your heart, you will not submit to persecution. You won't. You'll give it up. You'll turn it away. Persecution will come, and it will not bear up under your soul. God is the author. Now, Brother Josh said God cannot lie. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse number 2 that he mentioned. Titus 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's a huge verse. Slow down and stare at it for a second. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. What did God promise?
Hope of eternal life.
God promised the hope of eternal life. When did He make that promise?
Before the world began.
Do you realize before He said, let there be, He had already made a promise. And to clarify in our hearts and minds how great this promise is, he says, he can't lie. Before he ever said, let there be light, let there be fish, let there be creeping things, let there be lesser lights to rule the night, before he said any of that, he made a promise of the hope of eternal life. This is a huge verse. Why didn't he just say he promised eternal life? Why did he say he promised the hope of eternal life? Yes, but why did he say it was hope? Why didn't he just say, I promise everybody eternal life? Why is there hope? Why is the promise on hope? Okay, good. Good. The hope. The hope. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hope's going to spring up here again in the same context of God being not able to lie. Possible to lie. Start in verse number 17. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability. Mutability is just a big word for unchangeableness. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Brother Hawker's grinning. Share your thought.
What rejoicing, anchor for the soul, what hope, what unchangeable, solid foundation, unshakable. Boy, you can put your soul on that for eternity.
Right here, without contradiction, he made this promise before he ever began to create the world. What? The hope! When was Jesus slain? Before the foundation of the world. The Bible says he was slain before. Well, why would he say that? Because he cannot lie. He made a promise. When his drops, when his sweat became as drops of blood, and he said, let this cup pass from me. He had made a promise. But not my will, but thine be done. The hope was promised. He could not lie. It is impossible. We got an anchor for the soul. Do I know I'm saved? With my whole being, I know I'm saved. And it's not because of me and I prayed and I said the magic words. It's because of him and his promise. Because his word is true and it does not contradict. Here, 10, 15, maybe more years ago, the Pentecostal Assembly of God churches who believe in losing your salvation got the on a new twist. You can't lose your salvation, but you can give it back. Yeah, I wonder how many in hell would like to sign up for it. You know, I'd like to readjust that one. It's without contradiction. If God gives you eternal life, everlasting life. When does that end? They will tell you when you sin, when you give it back. It's not eternal life then, is it? It's not everlasting life, is it? When was this hope given? It was given in a promise before the world was. What was the promise? He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world.
Brother Hawker. It goes to a little bit of what Brother Daniel's teaching too. So John was at 5:24. We always go to that because of those absolute present. You hath right now eternal life, is passed from death unto life. And then the conversation that Jesus had with Martha, I am the resurrection. It's because of his power and his promise. What does he say in John 10? You're in the Father's hand. You're in my hand. No man can pluck you out of that hand. And I've heard this. God cannot lie. He won't lie. No, lying is a sin. There's no sin in God. This was when God puts it out, that's it. We have a hard time with that because our culture and our society and even in our religions, we don't keep vows and promises, and things are always changing. Man, how precious is it that God's word is simple and never changes, and that right there is that anchor to the soul. And I can have peace in this life because I know God's not going to pull the rug out from underneath me.
And these two verses that we read here, the four verses that we read, he doesn't say he cannot here. He says it is impossible. Oh, but wait a minute. There's the contradiction right there.
He restrained himself.
Because Jesus told the disciples, with God, nothing's impossible. Context, context, context.
Yeah.
With the disciples, he's talking about what God can do. Here he's talking about the very nature of God. Here's another one God can't do. God can't be darkness.
That's right.
In him is no darkness at all. God cannot lie. How great is this? How much of an anchor do you have? Have you ever been disappointed with somebody? Have you ever staked yourself out on somebody's word that they would do something and have them utterly fail you? From little things to big things. Many years ago, I had a friend take me to the airport. Now, picking somebody up from the airport is a sacred obligation and duty. And I was going to fly back in at 10:30 at night. It was 9:30. I said, look, guy, this is a sacred obligation. You said you're going to pick me. Oh, I'll be there. I'm making no other arrangements. It's 9:30 at night, 9 or 10, whatever it was. You're going to be there. Absolutely. I land. He's not there. I wait for him. I call. He's not answering. I have to take a taxi home at 11:30. I phone him, he answers at 11:30. Oh, we had an emergency meeting at work. 11:30 at night, are you kidding me? He lied to me. He lied to me when he said there was a work meeting. He lied to me when he said he was going to pick me up. But when God saved my soul, it was impossible for him to lie. It's a sure anchor. It's steadfast. He cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. I have an anchor for my soul. Everything else in my life can go bad and wrong, and it may. We have no assurances how we're going to reach the other side. But this much I know. My soul is safe with him. Look at verse number 17 again. Let's start in verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. I swear, so help me. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Pause there. We still do that today. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Some courts still abide by that. Most of them will go, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? We still have oaths. We still have oaths. What's that oath to do? To give the assurance and the security that the statements are true. The Bible's without contradictions because God did it with an oath. He swore by himself. He cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. And then he proved it. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God just doesn't say, it's impossible to lie. He gives us proof. He gives us proof that by two unchangeable things in the which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have some consolation. No, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. When those dear sisters and brethren were being sacrificed and tortured unmercifully, they had an anchor for their soul. They had an anchor for their soul. They knew the promise of God. The Bible is without contradiction. God cannot lie. It is impossible for him to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. And God's word is true. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. What are we rightly dividing?
The word of truth.
We're rightly dividing the word of truth. If the Bible has contradictions, it's not true. How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? How many errors do they have to be in the Bible? How many contradictions do they have to be in the Bible before it's no longer truth? The Bible is harmonious. It is without contradiction. It is without. One of the first things we got to have ground into our heart and into our very soul and being is the knowledge that the Word of God is without contradiction. It is indeed the word of truth. It is indeed the word of truth. This is unlike anything else that we experience in the world. As a lawyer, I've practiced law for 39 years, and every court case either reaffirms a law or changes it some. Roe versus Wade came down in 1973. That was the law. Even though I told Justice Harry Blackmun, had a chance to speak with him. He's the one who wrote Roe versus Wade. And I told him he was wrong. and I gave him legal precedent for it. He said, well, the decision's been made, and by that time it was made 10 years earlier. Roll the clock ahead to this year, and it was undone. We understand that. We have science that says Pluto's a planet. And then we have science that says, nah, Pluto's not a planet. We understand this. We understand how things fluctuate and change. It is very hard for us to get a grasp of somebody so pure that it's impossible for them to lie. That there is an absolute truth. Everything is relative to us. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard people say, well, when I made the commitment, I intended to honor it, but things happened. I don't know why they're so upset with me and trying to sue me because I bought a car they should have known I couldn't afford it. You're the one who said you could. You're the one who produced evidence to influence them to give you a big car. We understand fluxing, but what we don't understand is truth being absolute. Do you realize that Brother Daniel touched on it last night, we're saved by the same gospel Abraham was saved by?
Amen.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 8 tells us that. God preached the gospel to Abraham. It's the same gospel that Adam got. Now, why was Abraham so willing to offer up Isaac? Because Hebrews chapter 11 says he believed that God could raise him from the dead. Now, where in the world did Abraham get the idea he could raise the dead? Because nowhere in the book of Genesis does it talk about resurrection. Read more slowly and more carefully. It's there. It's there from Genesis chapter 1. If you understand the Bible's without contradiction.
Well, how about just looking at it from even a real basic standpoint? Abraham had faith in God. God made him a promise. If God wants me to slay my son, he must raise him back up again because that's the heir of the promise. However it happens, I don't know, but God promised it.
I don't know how he saved my soul. I know I'm saved. I don't know the mechanics of it. I know how he created new. I know he created new in me. I know he didn't reform me because this thing isn't worth reforming. You can slap all the whitewash paint on it you want and it's going to bleed through ugly. There's nothing worth redeeming here in the flesh. But thank God he saved my soul. I don't have to understand it. I just have to believe it. We want to believe everything after we understand it. But do you understand how your phone works? Do you understand how your TV works? Do you understand how your car works? Some of us have better ideas about some things. But it's interesting, here in the church building, we have, when we take up the offering, we'll be listening to the announcements on an iPad. And we're in about a 7-second time delay from when Brother Roger talks to when we get it there. Because it goes from that booth in the auditorium, it shoots around, shoots up into the sky, hits a satellite, bounces around a few satellites, comes back down, and somehow or another ends up on a laptop, on an iPad. And we get it time delayed, because it's not instantaneous. But boy, did that minute signal take a long trip. Don't understand it all, but we know it works. And we believe it, because we've had experience with it. If God has saved your soul, you got experience. He says, I gave you the evidence of the immutability. I gave you evidence of the unchangeableness. I give you evidence that it's impossible for me to lie. God's word is true. It's without contradiction. It's true. Look at John chapter 17, verse 17.
This verse isn't new to anybody. This is Jesus' prayer to the Lord. Truly the Lord's prayer. That the Lord seemed fit to record and put in writing for us to know the conversation they had, that Jesus had. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. What does sanctify mean? To set apart. Set them apart through thy truth. Well, where is truth found? Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Brother Josh is going to like this one. Brother Hawker.
Well, and I, pessimistic nature that I have, and I know that there's a not understanding truth or having a hard time accepting that there is an absolute void of fallacy that's available to us in our world today. But I think the scripture does reveal quite often that we don't want it.
Yes.
And I mean, you can go back to the garden and understand that what we want is, and we have the phrases today, and I almost throw up in my mouth saying them, speak your own truth. Man, I get so tired of hearing that.
Yeah.
Because that really lifts us up. I'm different than the 8 billion people on the face of the earth, and I only have my thing, and it is the truth.
Yeah.
We're just being gods. We don't want. I think that's one of the problems in God's house, even, is we don't really want to know the truth. Maybe because of what Brother Dale's teaching. Sometimes that truth can get you in big trouble.
Exactly right.
What do you do? You lose out.
You're right. Second to the phrase, well, my God.
Yeah.
Wouldn't do that.
My God wouldn't do that. My God. Well, that's wonderful. You've confessed that you've got a God that's not God. Join the Zoroasters and the Taoists and the Egyptians and a million other people that have their own private little God, and good luck creating them out of wood and stone and soap and whatever else you want to create them out of. Because you'll see the real God of the Bible in the Bible. But religion is fungible and changeable. Religion is of man. Religion will say, this is what we believe, this is what you must do. The Catholics used to be hard on eating fish on Friday. And if you ever wondered why in public school you got stuck eating fish sticks every stinking Friday, you can thank the Catholic Church for that.
Not anymore.
Every Friday, fish. And then in the early 60s, they went, it's optional now. People were upset. My uncle died before the change and he wouldn't eat fish on Friday. Is he going to go to heaven now? Seriously, that was a big discussion. Mormons have gotten a huge, huge fight in high school. Mormons in the 70s did not believe black people had souls. They got in a huge fight in a class with a bunch of Mormons. Went into my science class. I was the assistant to the teacher in the science class. I was just steaming mad. And I sat down next to him, and I was just fuming. He goes, what's wrong, Mike? Oh, you wouldn't believe the stupidity. The utter stupidity of these people. Mormons don't believe black people have souls. He said, I'm Mormon. Do you believe that? Well, yeah. Then you're an idiot, too. Turns out, BYU football team wasn't very good. White guys don't run as fast, don't do whatever the reason is, they figured out if they had black guys on their team, they'd do better. Miraculously, the prophet got a word from God. They got souls. Get them on the team.
And they always did.
Religion changes for the necessities of the moment. But God is, without contradiction, it's impossible for him to lie. It's the truth. You know, God said black people had souls from the very beginning.
It doesn't matter what your outside looks like. God's always been concerned about what's on the inside.
Amen.
Rich, poor, God even allowed Indians to be saved. God's word is truth.
Look at Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs 22, rather. Verse 20. This is good. Good job for just a minute. Look what we can do with this. Look what he's done with this. Look at one of the other benefits. Get this down into your heart. Verse 20. Have not I written... Who's the author of the Bible? Have not I written? I thought it was the law of Moses. Oh, by the way, a little rabbit here. There is a code of Hammurabi that exists several hundred years before Moses. And it echoes the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not have any other god, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. It's almost verbatim what Moses had. And the intelligentsia will tell you that, you see, Moses is simply reiterating the code of Hammurabi. So without contradiction, God cannot lie. When did he give the hope? Before the foundation of the world. When was the law given? Did Abraham have the law? Yes. Did Noah have a law? Yes. Did Adam operate under a law? Yes. Possible for God to lie. He's been telling the truth the whole way. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't steal. Don't murder. Code of Hammurabi was just recorded by man of what God had already said out there. And then Moses, instructed by God, to write it. Look at verse number 21 again. Or verse 20. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge? Now look at verse 21. Why did God write such excellent things? Why do we have the Bible? Why do we have the Bible? So we may not know the truth. What about the truth can we know? This is great. That I might make thee... Who's going to make us know? God. He's the one who authored it. That I might make thee... What? Know the certainty of the words of truth. Not only can we know the truth, because we know it's without contradiction, we can know the certainty of the truth. I had a lady I met for the first time last week with her problem, and she says, well, why can't I just go on the internet and take care of it myself? Absolutely, go at it, have fun. I often have clients ask me, why can't I take care of this myself? I tell them this, you can practice law on yourself, you can practice medicine on yourself, you can work on your own car. The question is not that can you do it, the question is can you do it right? So have out the internet, work on your own car, take your own appendix out. When you study the Word of God, He wrote it that we might know the certainty of the words of truth. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He's sitting there reading the Word of God. And what does Philip ask him? What's that? Excellent. Do you understand it? Turns out Philip knew the certainty of the word. He knew the certainty of the truth. He knew the certainty of it. He had the audacity to know the Bible was without contradiction, and he could start in the very same place and teach Jesus, knowing the certainty of the truth. The Bible is harmonious, it's without contradiction. That we might know the certainty of the truth. Look at verse number 21 again. That I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. Huge. Okay, we got a three-step process here. Look at verse 20 again. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge? First thing God did was he wrote the Bible. He wrote the Bible. He is the author. I wrote excellent things in counsels and knowledge to you. I wrote it. For what purpose? That I, God, keep it in context, not the writer of Proverbs, the penman, the paintbrush of Proverbs, that I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth. You know, I get amused. I have Mormons, I have Catholics, I've had a, name any religion, they'll call me up and say, Mike, where's this in the Bible? Where's that in the Bible? You think I'm Johnny on the spot, you know, I'm a Lexus, you can just ask me anything and I know the answer to it? Well, I know you study the Bible. God wrote the Bible to make me know the certainty of the truth. The Bible is harmonious, it's without contradiction. I can know the certainty of the truth. What's the best commentary on the Bible?
The Bible.
Boy, people get that messed up all the time. Many years ago, we had a pastor emeritus for the First Baptist Church, the big one over in Eugene, attend services to us under a cloak of cover. What he was trying to do was gather up some followers to start a new Baptist church. And we got over there to his house on a Thursday night, and beside his recliner was a stack of books about 3 feet deep of all the scholars, and he was ready to get into it. And we got into it. And he started saying, you mean you're more smarter than Dr. So-and-so? I don't care what the alphabets are behind your name. You can know the certainty of the words of truth. You can know the certainty of the words of truth. Look at verse 20 and 21 again. Have not I written to thee excellent things and the counsels and knowledge that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth? Now once you get this down, once you get down, the Bible is harmonious. It's in total agreement with each other. There is no contradiction in the Bible. That God is indeed the author, he cannot lie, and that God's word is truth. That you can know the certainty of the Bible. Is that the end of what God wants for you? Why does God want you to know the certainty of the truth? Look at the end of verse 21.
Go forth.
That we can give an answer. That thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. We can go into the highways and hedges. We can go into all the world, preach the gospel. Preach what? The words of truth. And it all begins with knowing in your heart. The Bible is without contradiction because God's the author. He cannot lie. And his word is truth. Let's stand and ask a blessing and refreshment.